Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I'll sing the song. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon?
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin? Alvin? Alvin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to an episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast you're going to want to listen to again and again. I'm your host, Mitch Halleck, sitting here in Connecticut, looking outside my window and looking at all the snow that's out there. My dog, Harley Quinn, is right here crying because she wants me to go out there and play in the snow with her. But I cannot until I talk to you on this podcast. And we wouldn't be talking on this podcast without your friend and mine. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. That's right. Wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's the one, the only, the guy they named a planet after, John Cimino.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey, John. How are you? How's everything up in the cold area of the Boston?
It's cold. It's always colder in Connecticut, though, isn't it?
That's because we have no souls out here. We've sold them all to the devil to be rich and famous, and it's cold. Not like you. How much snow did you get, John?
We got about a good six inches over here.
Yeah, and that, let the listeners know, that act of nature, the wrath of God with the snow, yeah, is what prevented you from joining me this past weekend in Long Island for the Ace Comic Con, as Jerry Ordway and I got photo ops with Gal Gadot, Henry Cavill.
Okay.
The Justice League, Jason Momoa, the fish, everybody and their brother was there. It was a time to be had, and unfortunately, you were planned to be there. I wanted you to be there. We were all set. The fans were coming by, but the wrath of God and snow made you sit up there, right?
Yeah, well, people have to know it's about a 2.5-hour trek from me to Mitchie. And then we jump into Mitch's vehicle, and then we hit New York. Because New York's only about 45 minutes from you, right, Mitch?
Yeah, New York City's not far. But this was in Long Island, so we'd have to go over the bridge. It was probably an hour and 20 minutes.
Figure we actually had snow, and it was going to start late in the day, and then it was going to go all the way into night and stop just about in the morning of Sunday.
Yes.
So it just was at the worst possible time.
It was.
Let's be honest for a second. Mitchie wanted me to do this. I wanted to do it. We all wanted to make this happen.
Yeah, it was supposed to be part. We were going to record this Christmas episode in the car ride with Jerry Go-Go-Check Ordway himself, famous Shazam and Superman writer and artist. But that never came to be. It was just me and Jerry. Minus Cimino. He even said a couple times, oh, too bad John's not here, because it was kind of quiet, you know?
Yeah, it's just unfortunate the elements kept us apart. And then it was just because coming back, what time did you guys actually get back?
Actually, we got out of the show at around 7:30, but because it was still coming down, we had dinner with Dan Jurgens and Brett Breeding at the Cheesecake Factory, and we waited till the snow stopped, and we didn't get out of there.
Wasn't it Brett Breeding or Brad?
What did you say?
Is it Brett Breeding or Brad Breeding?
No, Brett Breeding.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Brad. Go ahead.
No. There's also a Brett Blevins out there, but no, this was Brett Breeding. He was there with Jurgens, a bunch of people. Neil Adams was there, and Scott Snyder was there. So everybody was snowbound. We were all stuck there. So we waited until the snow. Harley! Give it a rest! We waited till the snow let up, so we left around 10, and I didn't get home till like around 12:30 at night because it was kind of treacherous. But needless to say, it was a good time had by Hall and all, and you were sorely missed. There's some photos. You can see them on our Facebook pages. I put John in there, so he was part of the action, but it just wasn't the same. It was a good show, though. Very good. Ace Comic Con, highly recommended. There's going to be one in Phoenix, Arizona in a month. Captain America, Chris Evans is going to be there, a bunch of other people. Maybe even Roy, right, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to those guys. I heard through the grapevine, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll try to. I know Roy's interested, and we got plans. But I would like to. 2018 is going to be a big year for Mr. Thomas. But I'd like to take him there. I would have loved to take him to the one in Long Island there. But I didn't even know. It kind of just came out from under the table. I didn't even know.
Yeah, that show was put together very quickly. It was almost like 2 months maybe. I heard about it in October. Yeah, October and then November and bang, December it was here. So yeah.
Yeah, you told me and we were like, what?
Yeah. A lot of these shows, again, it had a lot of the big names. It had a lot of wrestlers there on Friday night. They had the Undertaker, Harley. But it was a little, it was definitely interesting. Henry Cavill, nice guy. Jerry gave him a drawing of Superman. He did a drawing of Wonder Woman too. They were very appreciative. I can't think of the guys. Oh, Ezra Miller, met him. And it's one of those things, too, when people go, oh, you know, the photos and everything, it's a lot of money and stuff. But they did a lot of photography with a lot of kids that had some special needs, some folks in some wheelchairs and such. And I got to tell you, it just chokes you up. I was telling my wife about it on Sunday morning. You know, they bring the kids in first to take the photos, and the actors are tremendous. They sit down with the kids, they take their time with them, they photos, they draw, they whatever the kids want, and It just, maybe it's that time of year, or maybe it's just nice to see folks that have so much money, millions of dollars, and they're gorgeous and famous, and they just bring it on home and they make the kids smile, and it was really nice to see them interact. And I mean, I was almost in tears, Johnny. Because it was so nice to see those
posts. You went on Saturday, right?
I was there on Saturday. Yeah.
How many people you think of them?
Oh God, they had tens of thousands. It was crowded. They were all there for the photo ops. There was a lot of great artists and writers, but the main focus obviously was the Justice League cast. And they also had Daredevil was there too, Charlie Cox, and the Punisher was supposed to be there. We love the Punisher. I was all set to talk to Bernthal, but his house just burned down, and those fires out in California. So obviously, that's more pressing than a comic book convention.
Oh, really? His house was totaled.
Oh, his house has been totaled. Yeah, he couldn't make it. I mean, the guy lost his whole house. So,
that stinks. But what I was going to ask you though, Mitch, being con connoisseur yourself, now how did the vendors do? I mean, yes, it was all super, the actors and all that, but how did it trickle down? I'm just saying from your observation.
Well, they didn't have a zillion vendors, so maybe it did well. They had like, you know, six or seven toy dealers. They had six or seven comic book dealers, Harley, and a bunch of people selling artwork and such. So it was a good mix. It wasn't overcrowded. So I'm going to say they all did well. There was also a Walking Dead convention happening in Jersey, not too far from us, the Walker Stalker show. And that was a big draw as well. So it's a...
Yeah, I heard that did pretty good too.
Yeah, they had one of the main stars on there. You know, it's one of these things. There's so many of these shows and they're all fighting for your dollar. I know some people went to Ace on Saturday and went to Walker Stalker on Sunday. I mean, they just plan it out, but that's what it is now. So anyway, I mentioned earlier in the show that they named a planet after you, and people might think I'm kidding. That's not something you go out now and get your telescope and look for. But readers of the European, what do you want to call it, the Avengers comic books? Is that what it's in?
Yeah, it's the European Avengers comic, but when they have it here in the States, it's in the Marvel Superheroes magazine.
Yeah, those you find over at Toys R Us and at Barnes & Nobles and maybe Walmart or something.
And yeah, so it's funny, like, the writer of Good Buddy Joe Caramagna, who actually went to Ace on Sunday.
He was
Sunday.
There on Sunday. I did not see Joe and his donuts. He's a big donut fan.
Yeah. What was interesting is when he sends them out, it gets edited by Disney Italia over there. Like, they edit it. The people in Italy before it goes to distribution in Europe. So it's kind of a weird thing. So why I'm telling you this, it has something actually to do with the story. Initially, the Planet Simino storyline and the Simons, C-I-M-I-N-O-A-N-S, that's a race named after me. Obviously, they were green because green's my favorite color, and they had the bald head because I always shaved my head. And I'm a dwarf planet because Joe likes to make fun of my shortness, even though I'm 5'8.5".
Sure.
But, yeah, short. Okay. To you giants. But the planet is getting consumed by Galactus, so the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy are there to save that race of people. And so that's what's going on. So it was supposed to be an 11-part series where the Simeons were actually going to start worshipping the Hulk, which is my favorite superhero. And when the Hulk got madder and stronger, he emitted gamma rays, and the gamma rays actually, they find out that they actually start empowering that race. It makes them stronger, too. So that was kind of like a little homage to me Joe was going to do, and it was going to be fun in its own way. And they get something like the Lifebringer, something that was going to go on. But it was going to be an 11-part story. Well, that never happened. The reason why it never happened, because when it went to the editorial offices in Italy, Marvel accepted the story, Joe told me, but when it went to Italy, one of the guys there, one of the head ups there, was not a sympathizer to, like, the Syrian refugees, the refugees that were coming into Europe. So what that meant was the story abruptly ended. They were like, no, you can't have this. So the Simeons kind of just went away, and the planet gets destroyed, and then that Lifebringer part comes kind of in the story, and then they just told them, go toward the movies, and it kind of changed. So the whole story kind of changed into the Hulk versus Thor, the Ragnarok thing, and the Civil War thing, and the story just kind of abruptly ended. So politics killed Simino.
So there you go. Politics killed the planet Simino. It's unfortunate.
What do you think about that, Mitchie? What does that kind of, just really quickly, what do you think, like, how the business is run? Okay, when I told Roy that, he was like, he was just dumbfounded. But Roy, I mean, excuse me, Joe Caramagna said Marvel accepted the story and it was planned to go, but since it had to go through another, had to jump another hoop. What do you think about that, Mitch?
About the publishing terms and what happened to your storyline? What do I think about that?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I listened to you tell the original story about the Hulk and how they were empowered by the Hulk's radiation. I thought that was very, very imaginative, and I wouldn't mind reading that story. I never equated it with the real-life world that it was a guise of a Syrian refugee story. I don't know where that came from, but people read what they want to read into things nowadays, and not everything is always what it's supposed to be. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, as Sigmund Freud said. Doesn't always have to be referencing something else. I'm actually surprised a little bit, because I never would have thought, Harley, I would have never thought that they took an alien race that worships the Hulk and thought of this the Syrian refugees. But I don't know. I don't think it has a place in comic books, obviously. I think it's a storytelling device, and that should have just been left alone and just told the story. I don't know. I think this guy brought his own baggage, this editor, yeah, whoever it was, to it. And
it just shows you the difference. Like, the world is so different now. Like, I mean,
yeah, I know. We don't get political here on the show. At least I try not to, because everyone has their own beliefs. I have my beliefs. You have yours. But this is a show that's about comic books, entertainment, movies, and toys, and something that makes us happy, not something that's going to make us fight and yell about what we think.
But
about
on a fun note, getting consumed, my planet getting consumed by Galactus was great. And a friend of mine calls me up, and he says, how did it feel getting killed? I mean, getting eaten by Galactus? And I was like, that's funny, because that's one of the coolest things ever. So if you really actually think about it, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But somewhere in the Marvel Universe, the Samoans are out there.
Well, they're out there, all right. Just like the real deal here, as I'm giving.
Maybe
Hardy.
They're gonna play Mitchie. Maybe that's coming.
I know.
Up
I soon. Told John. I told Joe. I said, all those years I invite you as a guest at my show, and how am I treated? He said, I said, you can't put like a Colonel Halleck in there, like an army guy, or.
Colonel Halleck, that would be awesome.
He said he might. So I had to get Harley a piece of cheese over here to make her quiet until I can take her out for a walk. In the cold here in Connecticut. But anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, we were talking about it's Christmas time, Christmas in Connecticut, Christmas everywhere soon, and holidays and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and everything else. Again, we're politically correct. I don't mean to offend anybody, but sometimes people say, well, you just talk about Christmas on your website. You'll put a lot of pictures up of Santa Claus and Christmas. I go, well, when you grow up Catholic and you go to Catholic school for 12 years when you're a kid, it's kind of pushed into your head, so I'm kind of drawn to that.
Anyway. Yeah, I guess the political correct term is happy holidays.
Whatever. Here's a good topic for today. When I was a kid, I would get those giant Marvel Treasury editions, and one of the books I always look forward to is when they did those big Hollywood holiday Treasury editions, and they would have stories in there that were, you know, just reprints. The big Treasury editions were reprints. But they would wrap them around or bookend them with some new material. And I remember the covers of the Fantastic Four. Spider-Man was putting the star on top of the tree and Nick Fury was in it. And then they had a Christmas time or holiday time at Yancey Street. And you find out that the thing was Jewish.
It's funny you say that, Mitch,
twice about these things. I just read the stories. I didn't think about whose religion was what. But anyway, what were you saying?
No, but that Marvel Treasury that you're talking about, one of my favorite ones was the giant superhero holiday grab bag, the one from 1974. And it's Spider-Man, the Hulk, Cap, and Thor, and Human Torch still in the thing, and they're like kind of running in the... Like the picture, they're like in between a giant reef.
Yeah,
but when
Christmas
you turn it over, you saw the back of them. But why I love that though, it's they also read comics because they actually had issue 25 and 26 of the Fantastic Four in there to actually see those Kirby pages and that big battle with like the big books and stuff. That was like, you know, it was just a great visuals. It was just such a great. Holiday grab bag, and I really enjoyed that one. And it's funny, it's supposed to be a big holiday grab bag, and you got the best battle of all time with the thing versus the Hulk.
You're right, it was like a present to the fans. I mean, this is like the best of the best. But they had the holiday grab bag, and then there was that one, there was the yellow cover. Oh boy, everybody called today.
There was the DC one too, right? The season greeting one.
I'm gonna turn the phone off here. Yes, it was the season's greetings one. Whoa, hold on a second.
It sounds like a nuclear submarine, Mitch.
What, my phone?
Yeah.
Hello over here. It's somebody doing a research. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, we were talking about the holiday grab bag. Now, let's talk about collectability. There's that one with the green wreath. There's the yellow cover, which I talked about, where they're decorating a Christmas tree. There's a bluish-colored one where they're having a snowball fight. On the cover, do you remember that?
And isn't there that one that, like, I think it's with Gil Kane, and like the Hulk is like the thing is like the Santa, and then the Hulk is and they're jumping, and then it's snowing.
So I was gonna say, so how many of those are there, Mr. Collectible? What is it, like three or four?
One of the big
Treasury edition ones, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's like four. I think there's like four if I'm correct.
Yeah.
But then they have the DC ones too, which they called them.
Yep.
But what did they call them? They called them Super Edition.
DC Holiday Specials, because I've got some of those somewhere in the house where I can tell you vividly where Superman is flying. It's a green cover with Santa's sleigh. He's holding it up, and all the heroes are riding on board. You know that one?
Yeah, but Yeah, and but you want to know something funny? And yeah, but I was talking about the DC one,
yeah.
And this is different. No, just really quick, the difference between wording. It just showed you how Marvel was so much more hip. I know this is going to kill some of the DC guys out there, but they called it Marvel Treasury Special.
Yeah.
And that sounds a little bit of gotcha. DC's called their big treasury, you know what they called them? All New Collector's Edition. That's what was the name of those big books. But it was just so poor. That was like a go-go check.
Yeah. Just call it, make it something fun, like Holiday Grab Bag. That's fun. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, man, that's cool. You know? Collector's edition. You know, one of the other things that, I give DC this, though. They used to put out Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer comic books at Christmas. I would get those. They were a big one, too. Treasury edition, 12 by 18. I think it is 11 by 17. And it would have Rudolph, and it would have his pal Grover, the gopher. And Santa would be in it as well. They were really fun stories, and they used to be puzzles. You know what they used to have on the back of the DC books, which ruined these books for everybody? Because I know I cut up a couple. You would make a diorama where you would cut out the cover, and it would have artwork, and you'd put it together like fold slot A into slot B, and it would have like a picture. It was supposed to be a three-dimensional image of like, you know, Superman or Shazam, and if you did it right, he had like a background with a mountain behind him. And I remember they did that for the Santa Claus ones, and it was like Rudolph and Santa and the sleigh. And I cut those books up. I mean, it was only a dollar book, or maybe $1.50 at the most. And you're a kid, and you don't think about collectability. But
you're talking about but the thing is, like you were saying about like the size of the treasury stuff. I'm going to tell you a funny, quick story about a treasury. I'm talking back in 2000, maybe 2005. This is when Wizard World was kind of swinging. I don't know, but it was in Boston. But I'll never forget. I was walking in and I saw this little girl, and she had. She was sitting at the table with her father and her son, and she must have been maybe 8 years old, but she had that Fantastic Four treasury open, and I'm looking at it while she's doing it, and I said, that is the coolest thing. Now that treasury came out in the 70s, we're talking like 74, remember?
That was the second one, it had a white cover.
I'm thinking maybe her father, she wanted that, and maybe her father just bought it for her. But just watching her read it, she was so ingrained in it. That was like everything I remember. And I said, I remember turning to, I think it was Keith, and I said, Keith who runs Plastic City, let me just throw that out there. I said, isn't that unbelievable? I go, that is the best way to read a comic book, because like the pages, like the stuff that she was looking at with the big panels and stuff, and it just looks so awesome. And for some reason, I've been never ever able to forget that. It just looks so awesome in her hand.
Yeah, no, Treasury Editions were great. They just they came out with normal comic book-sized ones later on. I remember some magazine. I just picked up the DC.
One's a shame, though. One's
I know. I'm just going to say, I just picked up the DC Christmas special or the holiday special, whatever they call it. It was $10. It was $9.99. I was like, what the hell? You know, it's a lot of money for a holiday book. But DC will do one now for Halloween, and they do one for Christmas and such. I think Marvel's, I don't know if Marvel's putting one out. I didn't see it, though. But I picked that up. Jerry Ordway was telling me one of his characters, he created Bibbo, who was this this kind of bum bartender type guy that was in Superman comics.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Jerry Favor. That's Bibbo. That's based on a guy that he grew up with. His mom owned a bar. If you don't know anything, Jerry Ordway grew up in Milwaukee, where they had a lot of breweries. His mom owned a bar, and Jerry lived there with his brothers, and they grew up, and there was a lot of these characters that would hang around his mother's bar, and that's what he gets a lot of his characters that were in the
East. He's kind of like a Popeye knockoff, correct?
He was a Popeye guy. Yeah. He was a big Superman fan, and he lived down there. I'm going to say Suicide Slum. I think that's the part of Metropolis. It was down by the docks. You know, it was like the rough part of town. And he was a big Superman fan. But there's a Bibbo story in there that Ordway was telling me about. He didn't write or draw. It was just that his character was in there. What was some of the other things I was going to talk about Christmas? You just had me talking about it before we got on the phone. Oh, really big news before we jump on any other things. The word is this week, Fox will be acquired by Walt Disney. And that would mean that all the X-Men films, the Fantastic Four, everything that Fox currently owns, movie-wise, would now go over to Marvel Studios under Disney. So we could actually see the Fantastic Four back under the Marvel Studios. We could actually see the X-Men part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That means we could see Wolverine meet Captain America on the big screen. We could see Chris Evans' Human Torch meet Chris Evans' Captain America in a weird Invader story if we wanted.
Well, I would love to see a Wolverine Cap story, like them fighting first and then teaming up. And the rumor mill had it, and it's just a rumor, but Hugh Jackman was said if they were to ever do that, you know, it could be something he could think about coming back. Will it happen? I don't know. But I thought that would be fun. I don't know if he would pass that up.
No, you know what's funny? I remember him saying that when Logan, supposedly the last Wolverine movie with him in it, came out this year in March. Very good movie, but he said that same thing, that he would come back one day if the Avengers could meet the X-Men. You almost think that they know stuff behind the scenes, you know, because they work there. They know stuff that the average person's not going to know about what's going on behind closed doors. Maybe he was in, you know, had a heads up about this whole thing down the road.
Well, obviously, let's be honest, those big corporations, obviously this takes a ton of planning, and it probably takes years, or maybe even at least 6 months. So I'm sure the rumblings of talking, like, you know, the people, the grips or whatever, everybody, the productions and the actors are probably thinking, like, oh my God, I heard, you know, they hear that stuff. So it was probably, like, amongst them.
Yeah. But that would be something that... What would you do to introduce the Fantastic Four? And I think it's a great time. I was joking about it when I heard the news last week. Because we know the Thanos story is coming out. We know the Infinity Gauntlet's coming out next year. Avengers number 3. If this does happen this week, which looks like it's going to, and they do it, I think one of the greatest endings of all time to bring these two universes together on the big screen would be you have Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. And just when he's about to take over everything, Galactus shows up, picks him up, throws him down his mouth, and eats him. And that's how you introduce the Galactus and the Fantastic Four in it. And you maybe say that the Fantastic Four were trapped in the negative zone for all these years. That's why no one knew about them, and that's why they weren't in all the other movies. And the X-Men were always in hiding, and that's why they weren't there, because they were mutants who went underground. What would you do? What kind of movie would you do to introduce...
Well, I would, you know, I would actually throw this out. I'd go a little bit more. Like, I would have it to do with the gems, and because obviously, like, the reality stone, like, something what I think Thanos would do, this is how I would do it. Like, he's using the, gems, and he's destroying everything, but something when everything starts coming back, or maybe using the reality stone or the time gem, but it rips something in time, and like something happens, like where another world, like kind of it's like almost like the counter Earth, you know?
Right.
Something that happened that like it because you would have to throw a little like a joke in there about the fact that they were at Fox, you know? So it was like a different company, but like how about like almost another world or something? And it kind of meshes with the Earth, and like when everything. You know, when everything is said and done,
right.
it made a hiccup in reality where all of a sudden that all those people that were in maybe another Earth, which were X-Men and all the other guys,
yeah.
Now they're all together in the world. That's kind of how you could make
that. Yeah, like they've done in the comics when the DC had the Crisis on Infinite Earths and
because it's kind of weird, like, all this time the Avengers is going on, all this time all this stuff is going on, but the X-Men were never there, and neither were, like, the fans. Why were they never there?
They just brought Spider-Man in this year. They kind of made it like he was always in the background.
Yeah, but Spider-Man's a kid, and he's just kind of, like, starting out. The Fantastic Four are tried and true experienced. They're older. Like, where were they? Did they just kind of...
Well, that's what I said. You make them, like, disappear in the 60s. Like, they were trapped in something that Reed did, and they were stuck in the negative zone or, you know, trapped in time or whatever. you know.
And then something Thanos does, like, breaks that, and then
somehow they get loose. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I honestly hope it happens. You want to talk about political stuff, that means that Disney would be in charge of Fox News, and you don't even know how that would work. See, that's what you really want to start getting about.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mitch. What? Now that the deal is going to be made and all that stuff.
That's what
and
they say, yeah.
It's probably right, but it should probably be made by the time that Avengers stuff 3 comes out, correct?
It should be done by this week, and then, yeah, they could quickly...
Okay, but my question is this. Do you think, because that movie's just about done, like, I know they're still doing stuff...
Yeah, no, they're working on number 4 already, dude.
Okay, but my question is, do you think that they're going to actually take... That this if this happens, if it's just set in stone and it's done, do you think they're going to go back and maybe revamp or do something at the end of that movie to try to include some of that stuff?
When you're in a business where they made Henry Cavill, instead of shaving, he had to reshoot all his scenes for Justice League. He had a mustache because he's filming Mission Impossible 6. Instead of just shaving that off for a week and putting a fake mustache on, they made the man show up on set with a mustache, and they spent $10 million to CGI out his mustache and give him a fake lip. That's why he looks odd in Justice League. Yeah, they would go ahead and spend the money and reshoot everything. They just took Kevin Spacey out of a movie that was set to open on Christmas Day last month when all this happened about his sexual proprieties, whatever he was up to.
Right.
They refilmed the whole movie, his scenes, with actor Christopher Plummer, who lives right over here in Connecticut. That's insane. That's how quickly they can turn things around now. They digitally went in there, took out Kevin Spacey, refilmed his scenes with the actors with Christopher Plummer, and now the movie's still coming out. So, yeah, I think they would definitely go back and re-edit the movie to add in the FF.
I think you would have to do it. But I think that's what they're going to do if this happens, because you would have to do it on that movie, because that's the movie that's going to get all the eyes. Like, that is the jumping on point. And that was the movie that was going to start the Phase 4, correct? Like, yep. Captain Marvel and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. It would be perfect, because we know with Roy stuff, when we talk about the power cosmic, if you're going to talk about Galactus, Captain Marvel, and X-Men. You could do, you know, the whole Dark Phoenix story. There's so much you could do. It's all cosmic. The Guardians of the Galaxy. That's Marvel space stuff. That's the heady stuff that goes on, you know?
So Yeah.
I think it would just be something. That would be a Christmas present.
That would be. I would love that. I'm sure there would be a little teaser after the credits that, you know, maybe the X, you know, how cool, you don't think they would round up some of those X-Men people and all that?
I don't like the current people they have in the X-Men movies. I wouldn't mind if they recast.
No, but what, think of this dream. Right. After the credits, the very last thing, you see a guy bubbling out of a sewer with the claws and saying, now it's my turn.
It would be
Hugh Jackman. How unbelievable would that be?
When I was a kid, when John Byrne was doing the X-Men books in the 80s and 70s, I was always thinking about what if they made a Wolverine movie. And when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, I used to look at Raiders of the Lost Ark as a Sergeant Fury movie instead of an Indiana Jones movie. But I always pictured a dark movie theater, and Wolverine was, back then you could smoke in movie theaters, and he was always smoking cigars. And I always thought, wouldn't it be something if he's sitting in a dark theater? Because they wrote in the book that he was a big fan of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he had seen it like 13 times. That somebody's smoking in a movie theater, and he puts a match on, and you see him, and somebody goes, hey, put that cigar out or something. And next thing you know, you hear the noise, and you see the big claws pop out in the dark. And he goes, oh, yeah, make me. And I thought that would have been a cool scene if they ever made a Wolverine movie. But what you just said there reminded me of the famous Hellfire Club sequence when he does the Berserker Rage.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah,
so
that scene is etched in my head, where you got that. He's turning his torso, and his claws are out, and he's in the water, and he's about to lose his crap and go kill all the Hellfire Club. So, yeah.
That's one of the greatest cliffhangers of all time. And then when you were a kid,
seeing that. I remember my brother had stacks of comics, and he had that one in his room, and it was Wolverine alone. Because you never had the next issues when he goes after the Hellfire Club alone, and you never had like a solo. And that was so. And Wolverine was becoming the hit new character, and you were like, "Oh my God!" You know, that was so good. But I thought that would be kind of a great introduction of that universe coming back. You know, being back with the Marvel, because let's be honest, I mean, that's going to be huge.
It's funny you say that. I was talking to Keith Giffen, who was at our show all the time, but he was at Ace Comic Con, and I asked Keith, and he's famous for his Justice League run he did in the 80s when they made the Justice League come back, and they were very humorous, and Martian Manhunter loved Oreo cookies, and Captain Marvel was in it, and all that. So I asked him how he liked the new Justice League movie, and he starts telling me how he loved this pilot for the Justice League show that you and I were fighting about a couple weeks ago that had the guy from MASH, David Ogden Stiers, he played Winchester, he was the Martian Manhunter, he had a big gut on him. And he goes, "I love that." I go, "That was the most hideous things I'd ever seen. It was so bad they didn't even air it on NBC because it was so bad." He thought that was one of the greatest adaptations of the Justice League in history. And this is the guy that wrote the stuff. Yeah, that TV show. So I don't know if Keith was a little wacky or what, but he was telling me that. I couldn't believe it. So you never know what people think of, and especially these guys. They do it for a living, what they think of. I know what Ordway thinks of Superman the movie, and he loves that one, and the new one with Henry Cavill. He likes that they had Doomsday in the movie, because they don't always adapt these movies panel for panel from the comic books, you know? And that's... That's good and bad sometimes. Most of the times it's
This is where the great divide comes. You know, me and you are more pro Marvel, and and poor Jerry, he's more pro Go-Go Chen.
Well, you know, because I think they want to surprise everybody. I understand. They don't want to just have it panel for panel, because why make it a movie? Just go read the comic book. Why bother?
No, of course.
And you know, you're not going to get a movie director, and you're not going to get writers and actors with these huge egos sitting there going, "Well, I'm just going to do something that somebody else already did. I'm just going to remake this comic book." That's not how it works. Like, I tell you what, I know you don't watch The Walking Dead, and here's a spoiler alert for anybody listening to this. I watched this week's season finale. In the comics, the character of Carl, who's the sheriff's son, is still in the books. He's a main character. At the end of the episode last night, he got bit by one of the zombies, and he's dying, so he's off the show. That is nothing like it is in the comics. That's a total departure. They're going in a whole new direction. I don't know what's going on with that show now. I don't know if they're just desperate for ratings and trying to get people back. Because there's only two people left now on the show that have been on it since the first episode. And he is now gone, and that's it. So it's a shocker. I was surprised it happened last night.
Well, Mitch, let me ask you this too about The Walking Dead, because I don't know anything really about it. Is the comic like the show, or the show like the comic?
It was. I mean, there's major plot lines, major characters that follow the story. But now, it's all over the place. I mean, they're not the same exact thing. Again, it's not word for word and panel by panel, but it's close enough. But now they're changing it up completely. I actually, to be honest with you, I think it's a sign of desperation. I think the ratings are down. They don't know what to do with the story. They're floundering. It's eight seasons.
How many seasons has it went on for, Mitch?
It's been on for 8 years now. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And it's losing viewers, so they're like, "Let's shock everybody."
Okay, but let me ask you this, because I don't watch this. Is it still like ghouls and zombies trying to kill everybody?
No, the zombies are in the background. It's almost a joke. My son used to see it and go, "Are the zombies even on this show anymore?" It's all, you know, tribes of people fighting each other. That's all the show's come down to. The Walking Dead are, you know, no, it's just about groups. One group thinks this is how things should be done. This group thinks this is how it should be done. They're both doing bad things to each other, which is ironic. I mean, it's like this guy's killing people in their sleep. This guy's shooting people in the head. This guy's bashing people's heads in. They're all miserable people. You don't like anybody anymore. You really don't, you know? So there's no heroes on that show. But anyway, I digress. It's not the Walking Dead Christmas show. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to let people know that next week's episode for Christmas, we're going to air our special adaptation of Strange Tales Annual 2 or 3? 2.
Oh, yeah. Annual 2.
Yes, the historic team-up of Spider-Man and the Human Torch. Right?
Yeah, and our second go. If you missed the first one, go to... what episode was that, Mitch?
The Hulk meets Thor. I think that's episode...
Yeah, this will be our second comic, because the first one we did was Journey into Mystery 112, and we got a lot of great reviews.
That was... I liked it. I listened to it like 20 times. I think I was the biggest download. But
I did too. Not 20 times, but I listened to it, and you did very good. You can tell Mitch was learning his craft with the effects and stuff. So we hope that this new one, it's our little Christmas present, our cosmic power cosmic present to them, and that they're going to enjoy that, right? Strange Tales Annual 2.
Yes, and it's not as easy as it sounds, and I think someday I should air all the deleted scenes of you and me just cursing.
Well, Mitch, yeah, maybe the deleted scenes with you have to bleep out all your swears.
Oh, I tend to curse a lot during those things. The F bombs, every other word, like son of a bitch.
And Mitch, let me just throw this out there. One of the first times me and Mitch, it was a bunch of years ago, we started talking to each other. Or like, we started texting a little bit more after our initial meet in the diner. I remember I said something to Mitch, and I threw a swear in there. And Mitch comes back to me, he's like, I don't like when people swear. He was all like professional. I don't like when people swear. And then you come behind the scenes, now I know Mitch very well. And it's like, Mitch has got the worst talking mouth. Yeah. That was so bad.
Yeah. Mr. Terrific, Captain Terrificon here, swears like a sailor on leave. Ask my wife and kids that. It's not...
Or catch him at Terrificon when stuff's going bad.
Yeah, you don't want to be... I've scared Darth Maul himself, actor Ray Park, with my swearing. He ran out of the room.
I have to adult, but Mitch, some people don't. This is a good thing about when you go nuts. Mitch, okay, you have to understand, me and Mitch have very dry humor. Some people don't understand. They think we're either trying to kill each other or what, but we love each other, but we kill each other with funny ways. But when Mitch gets angry and you sit in, like, you're yelling at somebody too, you also throw in some great, like, comedy in there, but it's also coming from a bad place. And sometimes, like, we don't have to go there, but like the infamous you and confronting Robert Bruce.
I get very colorful and imaginative with my
it's put-downs. Like you would think you're throwing some comedy in there, but you're just kind of funny even when you're angry. And it's like, if people don't know you, it's kind of like, whoa, he was mad, but like they don't get it. It's fantastic. That's good.
No. And before we wrap it up, I've had people say to me that have known me for years. Like, I'm not talking 10, 20, 30 years, some people say. They go, if they don't know you and they don't get your sense of humor, you come across as a real asshole. I go, really? They go, yeah, you're not fun, because you'll say something, never being malicious, never being meanful or spiteful. You'll just come out and say some kind of bizarre observation, and it just comes across like a lead balloon, and people are like, holy crap. What did he just say? And I'm walking around whistling like nothing's happening, and then you'll come up to me later and go, can you believe what you said to so-and-so? The guy's in tears in the bathroom. I go, what? They go, you just totally wiped him out. You said something and you don't even remember. I go, what now? And that's the scarier part. I don't recall.
You're a big B. Lou Ferrigno thing. That's when Mitch becomes the Mitch. That's when Mitch Halleck becomes the Mitch. And then when he comes back to Mitch Halleck, he turns back to Mitch Halleck. It's like, you know, he only gets vague memories. What? You know, it's like the destruction you caused as the Mitch. You don't see it.
People are lying in the street. It's like the Hulk. The whole town has been wiped out.
Like when he destroys the whole town.
Yeah. There's rubble everywhere, and people are like in the streets, and Bruce Banner comes walking down the street with a no shirt and ripped up pants. Like, what'd I miss? What happened?
But it's always very creative, Mitch. It's always creative.
Yes. It's like fighting with a cartoon.
That's why Mitch always gets one little piece of coal in his stocking.
I know. My wife goes, God knows, we're going to be married 25 years next year. She's going to be like, oh, boy. It's something. She knows how to put me in her place, though. She'll quickly...
Oh, Nick, before we go, why don't you tell people about your little experience at the store?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the celebrity watching doesn't end on Saturday with the Justice League and all those comic book creators and the movie actors. Sunday morning, we're out Christmas shopping. We're at the local mall here in Connecticut, and we go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I got one son plays lacrosse, and my other son's into marching and all this stuff. So we go into Dick's Sporting Goods, and we get some Christmas presents, and we're standing in line waiting to get checked out, and who's in front of me but this tall teenage boy, but he's with his dad, and his dad's standing there, and I'm talking to my wife, but I notice the dad has such a long white beard. And being holiday time, you go, wow, this guy looks like Santa Claus. And I'm looking at the long beard, and it's long. It's not just to his chin. It's down to his stomach. And I notice the eyes and the nose. He's wearing something. I go, oh, that's David Letterman, because Letterman lived in Connecticut, and maybe still does or nearby or whatever. He used to live in New Canaan, Connecticut, years ago, which isn't too far from me. So I tell my wife, I go, Cher, there's David Letterman. He's standing in front of you, and he's got a basketball. He's checking out. And she goes, so? Now, my wife could care less if it's Harrison Ford or Gerald Ford or anybody in front of her. She's not a big starstruck person. She doesn't care. And I'm like, oh, that's movie actor A, B, or C. Whatever. They're just ordinary people. And so the whole time, I'm like, oh, you know, what should I say something to him? And I look like Jay Leno, I've been told. So maybe it's best I did not bring up anything or say something to Letterman, because maybe we would have gotten to a fist fight right there in the aisles because he thought I was Leno. But I don't know.
But I thought it was I threw this one at you, Mitch. I thought it was a little missed opportunity because you could have told him, and you were probably, were you wearing the Terrificon shirt?
I was wearing my Terrificon sweatshirt that says, you know.
And it could have been just an invitation, and if he wanted to bring him and his son and maybe some of his family, if they're into comics, to your show. That's what you should have done, because that could have set precedence that you never know. Maybe one day later, he becomes.
I tell you, the way he looked with the beard, he could have cosplayed as the Wizard Shazam, you know?
Yeah, but it was great. That was cool to see him, though.
Yeah, it was. I used to watch him all the time. In fact, I own a David Letterman. I was just talking about this because we were at the show on Saturday, and somebody had said that they gave a comic book in a plastic bag to Stan Lee to autograph, but Stan didn't take it out of the bag. He autographed the bag. And then somebody said, well, that's great now. You could slide whatever Stan Lee comic in there, and it'll look like it's been autographed by Stan Lee. I'm like, well, there's that. Because when I met Letterman years ago when he did his show, I went to a couple tapings of it in New York, and I brought the Avengers Meet David Letterman for him to sign. And I had it in the bag. And, yeah, I handed it up. They said, if anybody got anything that Dave wants to autograph or you want his autograph, you put it in this box, and they bring it up to him, and during the commercial breaks, he would sit there and autograph stuff for people. So they autographed my comic book, and then at the end of the show, they would hand it back, and Dave picks up the comic book, and he says, oh, whose is this? And I go, that's mine. He goes, oh, this is really funny. Come and get it. So I came up and got it. He signed the Mylar bag that the comic book was in, not the actual comic book cover. So what do you think?
Oh, and you know what, Mitch? I totally forgot about that. I forgot that Avengers issue that he's actually in.
I think it's 287.
Yeah, it's with Wonder Man and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that cover's by Al Milgram, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's right.
Al Milgram, who, if all goes well, will be joining us. There's another surprise guest, will be joining us at Terrificon 2018.
We got a lot of surprises.
A lot of good people coming. A lot of classic creators.
We have teamed up that we're going to do some tricks. We got some tricks.
We got some good stuff coming your way, people.
I told Mitch, when the new year starts, after the holidays, the new year starts, I attack.
Oh, yeah. We got some good people. I've been talking behind the scenes with a lot of creators. A lot of people know about Terrificon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con. And they can't wait. Speaking of that, John, I know we're not supposed to be doing all this news, but we are. What do you think about the news on Friday night that the court decided, the jury came in, and the verdict was that San Diego Comic-Con is the true owner of the trademarked name Comic-Con, and now Salt Lake City, who they were fighting in this lawsuit, does not own the trademark. And that they can't call themselves Comic-Con. If you want to be a Comic-Con, you have to change your name to maybe Comic Expo or something like that, or license the word Comic-Con from the owners of San Diego Comic-Con. What do you think about that, Johnny?
Okay, I have a few questions, though. It's kind of a little head-scratching. I think initially they went after Salt Lake City, right? That's what it was? Okay, I think those two promoters don't like each other. I had some inside sources tell me.
Yeah, they don't.
Stuff.
Yeah, word on the street, right. Rumors, they don't like each other. The shows aren't far apart.
Correct. So my thing is, how are they going to take that name of Comic-Con away from New York Comic-Con? Because that predates San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, maybe they have an agreement or a one-off where they license it.
Okay, so that's my question is, everybody else that has Comic-Con, are they going after everybody like that? That's kind of a tall order.
They could, because there's over 150 shows, I think, in the U.S. alone.
No, right. Are they going to be a lot of litigation? I mean, like, what? Are they going to? They're going to have. They have to go to each and every one individually.
No, they would send you a cease and desist letter and say, "Stop using that name."
If they don't do it, they'll take you to court.
Yeah, but first they'll give you a warning shot. They'll say, "Cease and desist uses the name. If you continue to do so, you'll get legal action." And that's how it'll work.
But if they do have like, you know, a good standing with New York, they're allowed to let anyone else use it if they want?
You would pay a licensing fee. You would give them an amount of money or an agreement or something saying that.
But how would that work? I don't know. At least questions. But I see what you're saying. But like I said, New York used that term first. So you're saying they might have an agreement. Everything's fine, hunky-dory, so don't worry about it. We're just going after these other people.
I will have to wait and see. Or the other shows just change their name to Expo. Or, you know, or Fest. So there's
New York. Is there Terrific Con?
No, Terrific. Heroes Con, Terrific Con, Awesome Con, Dragon Con. We're all untouched because I created a new word. The word Terrific Con.
Will they come after our buddy Keith Gleason, Plastic City Comic?
Keith might have to change his name to Plastic City Comic Expo or Plastic City Comic Fest.
Plastic City Con? Can you just use Con?
He could change it maybe to convention. That's not a word that they own. I don't know. Happened Friday. Today's Monday. It just happened like 6 o'clock Friday night. The verdict came in. A jury of, I think it was 5 men and 2 women on the jury, ruled for San Diego. We'll have to wait and see what they're going to do. Because immediately after Salt Lake City, who was in the lawsuit, they appealed within minutes of the verdict. So that means now they're going to have to go to appellate court, look at the appeal. They're going to have to hear their argument again. This thing's not over. It's going to drag out. And it's been dragging out for 4 years now. So they've got a lot of time and money and lawyers to make it go forever.
Well, it showed you that obviously, like I said, this is a head scratcher. There's going to be a lot of unanswered questions answered in time. Like, things are going to... kind of weird.
Well, the understanding is the Salt Lake City's argument was that the word Comic-Con is such a generic term now, like Band-Aid or Xerox, that the public uses it without realizing that those are brand names. You know, it's not really a Band-Aid. It's a plastic strip, a plastic bandage. But people just call it a Band-Aid. It's not a Xerox. Doesn't mean a carbon copy or whatever. It just means that's the name of the people that made the machines. But people just go, oh, give me a Xerox of it. You know, go Google that. Google is not every search engine, but people are just so used to using the word Google when it comes to looking up stuff, they just assume it. So the word Comic-Con became public vernacular. It meant a convention that had something to do with comic books. So that was their argument, that they don't really own it. And the judge said, well, let the jury decide. And the jury did come out and say, no, San Diego has the right to be that because they trademarked it first and on and on and on. Interesting story. Like the word superhero. We talked about that once, right?
Yeah. I actually wrote an article in Back Issue on the trade.
The Marvel and DC Comics jointly own the trademark for the word superhero, right?
Yeah, and then they kind of screwed everybody else out. That was kind of a good thing because they both
have the most famous superheroes, so they really couldn't beat each other. So despite all their competition and stuff, they teamed up to and they both own that copyright.
But no one really realizes that. When you say the word superhero, there's a story here called Legends of Superheroes in Connecticut, but they changed the spelling of it just for that reason, so they wouldn't have to get in trouble. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Superheroes. I don't know. So anyway, it's like I said, we're going to be off the air next week for Christmas. Is that next week? Yeah. Well, today's the 11th. Next week you'll hear the Strange Tales version. Actually, I don't know if that should be on the week after. Christmas is on a Monday this year, so who knows? Maybe we'll come back with another episode. Depends on how much free time we have, right?
Yeah, but so, yeah, I think we should come back with an episode and then the one after.
You know what would be good? We do a Star Wars special.
Star Wars special?
No, because the new movie comes out this week. I'm going to review it for the radio. I'm going to go see it. You're not a Star Wars fan, but with Roy Thomas, you have a lot of Star Wars memorabilia and some insight there to how that all came about.
Yes, that's right, Mitchie.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
Your boy, Roy Thomas, was, along with Howard Chaykin, created the book that they say saved Marvel Comics back in 1977.
And you got it. And it was Roy and Lippincott, Charles Lippincott, that it was them that brought it. Was that brought that? They got Marvel to do it.
And then you even came recently in possession of some very rare Star Wars action figures as well, and collectibles. So maybe we'll do a special Star Wars episode. We'll see if anybody.
We're giving the fans right now the behind the scenes how an episode is made.
That is right. You're watching us chop up with the lips and assholes as we put them in the blender and make hot dogs right now.
Absolutely.
That, and on that note, I might go get something to eat because you know me. I hunger like Galactus. My stomach growls.
Once you said hot dogs and talking about Galactus consuming planets, Mitch got hungry.
Well, you started with the planet Cimino. It's amazing I've been able to talk for the last 55 minutes. Actually, I got to admit, I was snacking a couple times during the talk show.
Yeah, I know. You know when I knew you were snacking? Hold on. When you said I gave Holly some cheese, and all of a sudden I heard you had some of that cheese.
No, this is what you heard. You heard the wrapper, because I have the wrapper here on the table.
Are you chewing? Were you chewing the wrapper?
No, I wasn't chewing the wrapper. I gave Harley some cheese, and then I had some, too.
Yeah, you had some of his cheese, right? I mean, her cheese.
It's her cheese, yeah. And she's staring at me now. She's like, "Ooh, don't touch my cheese." So, anyway, I'm gonna go get some exercise. I'm hopefully 2018 sees the return of the somewhat thinner Mitch. I'm never gonna say skinny.
Mitch, let's tell the story. Wait, before we go,
what?
Tell the story after not this past Terrificon, but the Terrificon before. Who caught you eating this? Okay, wait. Let me just set the story up, and then you can say it.
All right.
When Mitch. All right, Mitch works hard for Terrificon, right?
Yeah.
He does. He works very hard and all that. And then, like, Mitch likes to sometimes, you know, like at the end of the show.
I celebrate with food.
Yeah. He likes to celebrate. Mitch likes to celebrate with Mitch.
All right.
And Mitch, who saw you?
All right. So, everybody's gone. The show's over. It's Sunday night. Les David actually screwed up my plans this year. I'm not going to get into it. But after the show's over, Sunday night, everybody goes home. All the dealers pack up. I stay behind at Mohegan one night to make sure there's no problems on Monday morning and there's no issues. So it's Sunday night. It's 9 o'clock. I walk over to Pepe Pizza. They give me my white clam small. It's a small white clam pizza with some bacon. That's my favorite. I eat. I sit in the lobby at the Mohegan, and I eat that by myself with a soda, Diet Coke, because I'm trying to watch my weight. And as I'm finished, I reward myself with a Ben & Jerry's sundae, which is also at the Mohegan Sun. Great sundae. Yeah. So I go down there, and I get the works. Okay? I've been dying all weekend for this thing. And I get the works. The girl gives me like 3 or 4 scoops of ice cream. And she goes, you want whipped cream? I go, absolutely. She goes, you want nuts? I go for broke. Put everything in the cherry on top. I get this humongous, disgusting, gluttonous, giant sundae. So happy. I can make love to this sundae. I'm so happy to it. I turn to walk out of the line. And who's standing there watching me as my mouth waters for this delicious dairy delicacy? But Sean Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy, younger brother of James Gunn, writer and director of Guardians of the Galaxy. Hey, Mitch. And Sean Gunn, if you have never seen Sean Gunn, has got to be 100 pounds soaking wet. This man is like a skeleton. He's so thin. And he's just watching me like I got caught masturbating in the confessional at church by the nuns. You know what I mean? And I just sat there red-faced. I go, hey, Gunn. And he's just looking at my ice cream because he knows I'm a fat bastard. And he's like, oh, you ain't helping yourself at all. Harley! So, yeah, that's it. And I sat there with Gunn, and I ate my ice cream, and he's a vegan, and he didn't want anything to do with my ice cream and whatever. We look like Fat and Skinny joined the race. Fat fell down and broke his face, and Skinny was on the run.
When you're eating that sundae, because I see it's like you're reading a comic book, laying down and all that. It's like I see little Mitchie trying to come out, though. Like,
little Mitchie running across the street from St. Brendan's School when he's in third grade with a dollar, headed across the street to get some comic books and some wacky packs and maybe a Snickers bar. That's what you see.
Yes, definitely.
All right, it's been 1 hour. Let's wrap this nonsense up. I apologize to anybody who's listened this long. You wasted an hour of your life, but I thank you for doing it anyway. Wrap it up, Johnny.
And that's that.
And that's that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.